Amazing grace. Janet, would you bring my microphone up here? I forgot to grab it this morning. Would you bring that up to me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now, thank you, but now I see. Newton, many of you know his story. This week I had a contest on Facebook. I asked how many pieces of candy you thought. And Steve's first question was, well, what did I win? Well, I told him I would make sure that he got his prize here this morning. I told him he won a brand new car. So I got him a brand new car. I'll make sure he gets this today. Just so it's a 1970 Camaro, probably worth a lot of money. I know I paid 95 cents for it. So I'll make sure he gets this prize as his reward for guessing the closest amount to that candy. We love to get free things. We love to win things, or we love it when things are free. I think Trunk or Treat was an example of that. How many people came because it was a free event? You get all the hot dogs and popcorn and everything you wanted. You could get free candy, and there was no charge. There was no cost other than maybe waiting in a really long line. But we like to get things free, and I don't know if you've ever received a phone call that I've received before, and you answer the phone and they say, we want to let you know you've won a free expense, all expense paid trip to Disney World. And I'm like, okay, great. And they keep talking about it and building it up, and what's the question that I would have? Well, what do you want from me? And usually there's some sort of a catch. You have to sit all day through something, or you need to do this, or they're trying to hook you in to buy this or that. There's usually a catch, right? But we like it when things are truly free. Last week we began our series about grace, and I described grace as God's unmerited favor. God's grace is undeserved. Sometimes when we hear about free things, and we have this expression that it's too good to be true, right? That can't be true because that sounds way too good, but God's grace is both good and true. And it is offered to us, and we're going to talk this morning about receiving God's grace. If you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul begins the book of Ephesians telling the people that God has given them all sorts of blessings. He does a simple introduction saying who he is. Verse 2, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 3 of chapter 1, he launches into this section about the blessings we have in Christ, the blessings that are bestowed on the Ephesians because of what they believe in Jesus Christ. And he gets to verse 15 of chapter 1, and he can't take it anymore, so he goes into this prayer of thanksgiving. And then we come to chapter 2, and I don't know that there's an amen at the end of chapter 1, and so I think it's kind of almost the continuation of this prayer. And so if you'd read with me the first couple verses in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you were dead. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of humankind. I think in order for us to understand the grace that God has given to us as we talk about grace, I think we need to understand our previous state. We need to understand how we were before we can understand God's grace and it coming in. And Paul spells it out there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. He says, "You were dead in wickedness. You followed the course of this world," because this world now has sinfulness in it because of Adam and Eve and because of what they did, their disobedience towards God. You're following the course of the world. You're following the devil, is what he says there. You're living in the passions of your flesh. You're carrying out the desires of your body and mind. And he says very bluntly, you are children of wrath. Paul's spelling out very clearly who the Ephesians were before, what they had done. But we come to verse 4. Look at verse 4 with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, he says, "But God." So we're transitioning now. We're transitioning to the way from the way things were before, from how the Ephesians were before until when God steps in. When God decides to make a change, and in verse 4 it says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we have to understand our previous state, but then God steps in and God's immeasurable grace is given for us to receive. God's immeasurable grace, Paul spells it out, is given for us to receive. God's love steps in and raises us back to life with Christ. Look for me at what God does with us. I want to kind of take Paul's sentences and deconstruct them a little bit and put them back together, but it's all there. It's just I want to highlight a little bit for us in these few verses here. It says, "But God." I want to see what was there. Paul gives a lot of extra phrases that describe God, but I want to say what God did. What God made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God made us alive together with Christ. What were we before? Ephesians 2, verse 1, and even in this passage, Paul spells it out that before we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses, but God made us alive together with Christ. Not only did he make us alive, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God, in his immeasurable amount of grace, decides not only to save us from our sin, but offer us eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why would God do that? Why would he make that decision? Why would God step in like that? Well, guess what? Paul spells that out too. God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive and raised us up with him and seated us with him. Why did God do this? See, God brings us from death to life first because of his mercy and love. God brings us from death to life because of his mercy and love. God, part of his character, part of who he is mercy and love. And that mercy and love flows out from him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It was God's love that was poured out that made the decision to send his Son to die on a cross. See, God took us from our past wickedness because of his grace, because of his mercy, and because of his love. But he also brings us into our present exaltation, bringing us with Christ, raising us up because of his grace as well. There's a second reason that God brings us from death to life. And the second reason there is to display his grace. Look with me at verse 7 again, chapter 2. So that in the coming ages, I believe the coming ages there is both now, the coming ages any time after his resurrection, the coming ages, both now and future. There's going to be a time when Christ returns and calls all of his children back to him, those coming ages, that in the coming ages he might show, that God might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages, so that in this time frame, God might show the immeasurable. Think about the vastness of immeasurable. It can't be measured. That's the definition. It's immeasurable. There is no yardstick. There is no ruler. There is no container that will hold it all. It is immeasurable. The immeasurable riches. Immeasurable riches. Just such a vast amount. I was thinking this morning about driving in and thinking about farmers and harvesting all of the little kernels of corn. Tom, how many kernels of corn have you harvested? Quite a few, right? But we can measure that. The trucks drive on a scale and they say it's this many pounds and they measure those, right? Even though that's unfathomable, think about the sands on the shore. If we were to count every piece of sand on the shore, that could still be measured. But this is the immeasurable. Blows my mind. This is the immeasurable riches of God's grace, that he decides to show in kindness. He decides to show in kindness towards who? Towards us. Those who believe in him, in Christ Jesus. Paul says in the next verses that we receive this grace through faith. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Sometimes it helps. You memorize. These are verses I've memorized and had them memorized for many years, but I decided this week I was going to write it out just kind of in my own words. Let me give you my version. This is the RSV, the Roger Stewart version. God saved you by grace through faith. You didn't do it. God gave it to you. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it, and you can't take credit for it. It was because of his grace. God gave us his grace. So let me ask you this question. Can you give a gift? God offers this grace to us as a gift, but can you give a gift and it not be received? Can you give a gift and have it not received? Yeah, I was thinking about that this week, and I thought, well, if I sent a gift to my family in Michigan, let's say I choose UPS to send the gift, and so I take it to the store, and I have it in a box, and they label it, and they charge me for it, and they put it on a truck. Now the gift is on its way. But what has to happen for them to receive that gift? Let's say it was expensive, so I wanted a signature. I wanted them to sign for it. The UPS guy shows up at their door, and they're not home. He can't just leave it there. I'd ordered some equipment, and I got a call one day. I wasn't at the church. It was later in the evening. I got a call, and the guy said, "Hi, I'm the UPS driver, and I'm at the church. And there's something heavy here that I'm dropping off, and it's at the door, and I don't really want to have to put it back on the truck. Can you come and sign for it?" And I was like, I can get there in about 10 or 15 minutes. I don't want to know if you want to wait that long. He said, "I'll wait. You just come." There has to be the signature. You have to actually receive it. Even if the driver came back at my parents' house the next day and they still weren't home, they couldn't receive it. It might come to a point where they get a little note left on their door and they have to travel to a UPS facility and they have to sign for it, and then it's given to them and then it's received. See, God has offered a gift of grace. And it's been offered to many, but there are some who choose not to receive it. The Bible tells us that we can't earn God's grace. We can't earn it. There's nothing we can do. There's no work that we can do to try to get God's grace. There's no confirmation, no communion, no baptism, no church membership, no church attendance that can get us into heaven. It's not just keeping the Ten Commandments or following the Sermon on the Mount. That doesn't save you. It's not giving to charity or being moral. It's not being respectable in the community. It's not even claiming to be a Christian. None of those things save you. None of those works save you. The only way, the Bible says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The only way to get to God is through Jesus. By God's grace being poured out through Jesus Christ and having faith in Him. If you can't get any clearer than that, Paul makes it even clearer in Romans chapter 11. "But if it is by grace," salvation, he's talking all about salvation, "but if it is by grace, that salvation, it is no longer on the basis of works." It's no longer based on the law. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. It's not grace if you have to earn it. It is only by grace that we are saved. No one is excluded by God's grace. But the only way to be included is by having saving faith in Jesus Christ. God's saving grace was given through Jesus Christ coming to save sinners. God's grace is on display through us. John Newton, who writes "Amazing Grace," "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." How are we displaying God's grace? He saved a wretch like me. "I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." It's on display because we are all sinners. Paul spelled it out for us in verses 1 through 3. We were all dead in our sins, but God's grace saved us. I was looking at some of the words in these verses, and the word "in" caught my attention. Chapter 2, verse 1, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins." We'd found ourselves dead in trespasses and sins, but then look what happens when God's grace appears. Verse 5, "Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive together in Christ," or with Christ. Verse 6, and raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. See, we found ourselves in death. We found ourselves in sin, but now we find ourselves, if you're a believer here, if you're a Christian today, you find yourself in Christ. You find yourself with Christ. But God's grace is always flowing, and I was trying to come up with an idea for this morning. You see, we are much like, brought my shop light here today, we are much like this shop light. We're dead. We can't work. Nothing's happening. No matter how hard I try, there's nothing. But you see, our faith is much like this extension cord. God's grace is always flowing, much like this outlet. It's always there, but our faith is what connects us. It connects us. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God, his word says. Why? Because I have to have faith in who God is and what he has done. Also, I have to know how to operate these little childproof thingies on the... Okay. So when we have faith and we're connected to God's grace, we can shine his light. We can be lights for him. But it is only, the Bible says, through faith. God's grace is always there. It's available. We just have to have faith. You see, receiving God's grace comes by faith on Jesus' work on the cross and what he has done. When we have faith, when we have grace, when that grace has been poured out on us, God calls us to do works. Works are not out of the picture. Works do not earn us salvation. But verse 10 says very clearly, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, we are still called to good works, but it is out of the grace that he has shown us, not to earn the grace that he has given us. The cost of God's grace was paid for on the cross by Jesus Christ. Maybe we try to do things, we try to contribute, and we try to earn God's grace, but that's not how grace works. But you see, God offers grace to those who don't deserve it. God offered grace to me. I don't deserve it. That's God's undeserved, unearned favor that he pours out on us. What did we deserve? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. We earned death because of our lineage, because of our history, because of what Adam and Eve did. If Adam and Eve didn't make the mistake, I would have made the mistake. Because I'm a sinner. Because that's part of who I am. And that's what Paul spells out in verses 1 through 3. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. But out of God's grace, we are given so much more. I talked to you last week, took my board back downstairs, but God's grace offers us so much that we are a child, we are chosen, we are adopted, we are given the Holy Spirit, we are heirs, we are forgiven, we are holy, we are new creation, we've been rescued, we're loved, we've been given peace, victory, mercy, forgiveness, access to God. We are the light, and we are given eternal life. God offers all of those because of His grace. So will you receive God's gift of grace this morning? Maybe you find yourself, you're always doing things, always trying to get in God's favor. Well, I did something bad last night, so now I need to help an old person across the street because, well, they balance each other out. That's not how grace works. Grace is freely offered. It's freely given. It's always there. The Bible says it's just by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of works. Not of anything we can do. Not of any way we can boast, or there's nothing we have done. Why? Because that points it back to us. It's not about us. It's about God and Him receiving all of the glory. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, the immeasurable riches of your grace. It's unfathomable. Unimaginable. But you elected, you decided that you would show it to sinners of you decided to show it to people who didn't deserve it, like me. God, you decided to show your love and mercy, to reveal it to those who were wicked, those who were dead in their trespasses and sins. And you didn't just rescue us from our sin. You gave us life eternal. You gave us a relationship with you. God, may we, through faith, receive your grace. Stop trying to work for it. Stop trying to earn it. Because God, you give it so freely. God, I pray that you would encourage us as we go through our week, God, to be living in that immeasurable richness of grace and showing it towards others. Through the things that you prepared, verse 10, that you prepared beforehand that we should be walking in. God, help us to see those paths that you have set out before us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.